It's Marketplace Tech for Friday, September 2nd. I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson in Emeryville, California. Drama in the YouTube community after the site changed how it notified people about whether their videos are, quote, advertiser-friendly. Several YouTubers noticed alerts on some of their videos this week saying the site had removed advertising because the content of those videos included vulgar language, nudity, violence, or, quote, controversial topics. Google, YouTube's parent company, said the ad rules haven't changed. They're just more obvious now. But the controversy is part of an ongoing conversation about how big platforms like YouTube and Facebook exert control over what goes on their pages and about how transparent that process is or is not. Paul Toomey is commissioner at the Global Commission on Internet Governance.
The method for setting rules that people most place trust in is where many parties are involved in helping to set those rules. Now, if I'm a big online company and I've got 1 billion users, I've got huge power. I've got power beyond what we're used to seeing in the private sector.
The YouTuber who started the uproar over the site's new notifications, Philip DeFranco, is estimated to have made about $1 million, if not more, from his YouTube videos. But when someone else controls the distribution of your livelihood, Toomey says all bets are off.
If it's just left at the company level for some of these things, it'll just change. It'll keep changing all the time.
And speaking of controversy, the video game No Man's Sky was one of the most highly anticipated launches of the year. It came out August 12th for PlayStation 4 and for PC not long after. It promised gamers the ability to explore a virtually infinite number of worlds and to go on an epic space voyage. But tech problems and repetitive gameplay have made it more of an epic fail, with some players even demanding refunds. Ben Cachera writes for the gaming news website Polygon. Ben, do you think that all of that hype leading up to this game's release was actually part of the problem?
I absolutely think that has something to do with it. There's an alternate reality where this had a little bit more managed expectations about what a team of this size can do. And I think the reception in that world would probably have been a lot warmer. This was really promised and sold by Sony and Hello Games to be kind of everything to everyone.
Well, but there were legitimate problems too, right? Like people were spending tons of time on planets, naming all the species and naming those planets and then returning to find that their data was gone.
I think in a lot of cases, my understanding is that was a server burp and most of the data is back. But people were running into issues where, at least temporarily, they would try to go back to where they had come from and not see their data, not see their named planets and their named animals, which was a huge selling point of the game. That was supposed to be kind of your way to put your thumbprint on the world.
And then what happened with multiplayer functionality?
Hello Games, the developer behind the game, kind of said a lot of contradictory stuff about what multiplayer would be like. The big message that they really tried to get out there was that this is not a multiplayer game. Like, if you want a multiplayer experience, this is not the game for you. But they also hinted, if not outright said, that, like, people could find each other, that you would be able to cross paths with other players, even in this giant galaxy. And what ultimately ended up happening is it seems like, as the game exists now, the only way to really interact with other people is to see their names on things.
And what does that mean more broadly for console games? Because, you know, there's this ongoing complaint that every game is a sequel, but at least a sequel is a known quantity. And it's very hard to develop a game from scratch, launch it, maybe have blowback like this. Like, is it a cautionary tale for developing a console game versus a $2 app if you're a game developer?
Well, I mean, no matter what you're doing in the gaming space, it's an incredibly risky way to make money. If you're interested in making money, gaming is like, go work at McDonald's, because on a per hour basis, you'll probably end up ahead.
That's Ben Cachera. He writes for the gaming news website Polygon. Thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is Silicon Tally time. Our guest today is Mike Isaac, technology reporter with the New York Times. Mike, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I think I'm going to take you down.
Why you gotta start out like that?
No, I'm sorry.
Come on, man. Okay, my number for you is $7 billion.
I don't even know. That is the amount of money Twitter wishes it made last quarter in revenue.
That is the amount that Samsung's value dropped after reports of Galaxy Note 7 smartphone batteries exploding.
Well, that's great timing considering the iPhone is coming out next week.
Yeah, that's got to hurt. All right, what's your next number for me, Mike?
$200 million.
The amount of money that Tim Cook himself had to pay in taxes, even though Apple paid basically none.
That is the cost of the Facebook satellite that exploded yesterday on the runway of the SpaceX test. Facebook put its satellite as a payload, and it didn't work out, and I hope they have insurance.
Womp womp. Not today, Facebook. Space is hard. All right, my number for you, one turtleneck.
That is the number of outfits owned by Elizabeth Holmes, CEO of Theranos.
Man, the days when turtleneck was synonymous with Steve Jobs are apparently over. But one turtleneck actually owned by Steve Jobs with the Next logo on it, which is the company that he founded after Apple, is going to be auctioned off by Julian's Auctions in Los Angeles. They think the turtleneck is going to sell for somewhere between $1,000 and $3,000.
Do you think if you bought that, would you wear it or would you frame it?
I'm thinking that you frame it.
Yeah, I mean,
wearing it's a little creepy.
Although, I don't know. A lot of people around here, they want to be him.
Yeah. That's Mike Isaac, tech reporter for the New York Times. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
And I am Molly Wood. That's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.